B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:01 on the Mike Mussinelli Show, and the 4 o'clock hour is, well, General Knowledge Wednesday, by the way, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. You create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Tim McManus will join us in 10 minutes. And by the way, we've gotten a lot of outrageous responses on Twitter over the notion of the Eagles trading back and taking Jalen Reagor while usurping an extra pick.
Yeah, and people, a lot of reaction. I just put it out there. I mean, it's in print, mm-hmm. and the reaction has been a lot of reaction.
Yeah, I'll read a couple. No, trade up for Lamb. I'd rather trade up and lose a couple picks to get Ruggs, Jr. or Lamb, then trade down. I'd even be willing to give away next year's number one to move up. America's ass tweets in, no.
Thank you.
No, Lee, no way I'd be furious. Hooche, anything with the words trading down in Reagor is instantly a no. Delco Pete, no, 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 no. Scorpion King, no. I'm that fan that want the Eagles to make a move up to get a top wide receiver. Shane says, would rather it be Mims if they trade back, but I'm all for a trade back.
Well, see,
there's one guy.
You got mixed in, all right.
10,000% yes, Reagor is a monster.
See, those college guys love Reagor.
Maria, that's a no for me, dog. Steve Q, no, it'll be more disappointing if we don't get either CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson. Most of them are saying no, 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 no.
Heavy no's
yes.
For every one or yes mixed in. So the people... not pleased with the idea.
Yes, so we'll talk to McManus coming up. And so now I got Top Cat in my head.
Yeah.
And that, of course, made me extend my brain to my top five cartoons of all time.
All right.
But first things first, it wasn't Benny the Brain. It was Benny the Ball.
Benny the Ball.
There was a character that straight out was named Brain.
Mm.
And then there was Fancy Fancy.
Fancy Fancy, I remember.
Spook.
Spook, yeah.
Benny the Ball, told you already. There was Lazio Lazio.
I don't know Lazio Lazio.
There was, of course, the officer would chase the cats out of the alley. Officer Dibble. Always had the nightstick and the whistle.
Yeah.
trying to get rid of the cats. So here's my top list.
All right.
Top Cat is number one.
It's the top.
It's the top dog for me.
All right.
Number two is the Flintstones. Number three, a very cerebral cartoon. Well, Mikey Miss loved it for its cerebral, especially with Sherman and Peabody. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, you like the Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh. They had Aesop's Fables, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boris and the Pasha.
Natasha. Was that you, Mike?
What, Natasha?
Didn't you say I looked like her?
Yeah, you look like Natasha a little bit.
Somebody said that.
Well, she's a little Eastern Euro angular, and you're a little Irish softer.
Yeah, I don't have the jawline that
Natasha
she
was a hard cartoon.
Yeah,
Natasha was hot, and I got Johnny Quest. Oh,
Johnny Quest is in
Johnny
my top five.
Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest is in my top five.
And then I went silly with Quick Draw McGraw.
Oh,
because they had that Spanish guy in the box. You remember the Spanish guy in the box?
Yeah.
Hey, you all right? And he went over to, it's all right. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
You all right? It's all right. All right, they're my top five. These are older ones. The cartoons are a reflection of your youth, right? You grew up in that era. There's like a million new cartoons.
Why am I top five?
Five
was Johnny Quest. It was when I was growing up. It was a Sunday cartoon when most of them came on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Four was Danger Mouse. It was a British cartoon.
Danger Mouse pretty good. I remember Danger Mouse.
Three was Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget, you liked that?
Loved Inspector Gadget. Two was Garfield and Friends. The ants episodes were the best.
Garfield and Friends.
Yeah, it was a more modern one, and the Ants episodes were fantastic, and number one was Voltron.
You would like Voltron.
Voltron was number one for me.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Tony in North Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
What's up, Tony?
What's going on, crew?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Yeah, I called you last week and sang you guys praises because still in my mind, you guys are the top trio of all time.
Top in cat, the irresistible leader of the gang. It's the most tip-top. Top cat. That's awesome.
Now, Mike, I want you to keep an open mind about this, okay?
Okay.
Open mind about this. Got one observation, but one question, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fourth question, but one observation. Whenever an industry goes down, one industry always pops up. It just blows apart, goes to pieces here.
Mm-hmm.
That since the shutdown, can you give me like three industries that have been basically, their production is out of whack. I mean, their production is going through the roof.
Well, anything where you have to, like barbershops and salons. Like,
yeah.
They're totally gone. Mom and pop stores that rely on weekly income to survive are totally gone. I mean, I don't know. What else?
I mean, they had this online survey, and believe it or not, in the top 10 industries that have gained increases beyond projection is actually the psychic hotline.
The psychic hotline has increased.
Hotline.
Has increased.
To see
this
thing is in.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, yeah. It's easy enough to call a psychic hotline and try to figure out where your life's going in this time.
Yeah, ever since they locked up to the Clio in Florida, they actually went down.
Yep.
But that's enough for it. But hey, let me ask you a question real quick. Can you give me the number one foreign athlete? I know there was a story about some of the athletes couldn't even go home because they no longer even have flights home. But
yeah.
Can you name the number one foreign athlete? If they had a Hall of Fame for foreign athletes, who would be the first athlete inducted into the foreign? And I want to go maybe, I'll go with basketball since they are pretty well around global. So the number one foreign basketball player would be the first inductee into the foreign basketball Hall of Fame.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk.
Right? I mean, who else could it be if you're going basketball?
You got to put Yao in there.
Nah.
Yao was like an
assistant. But Yao had a short career.
I would say no.
He had a short career.
Well, we're not going by as far as who had the longest career.
Well, that's got to be part of it. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki is a Hall of Fame player because of what he did in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, Yao was obviously a very impactful player, but... He was like, in a way like Bill Walton. His career was derailed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had the foot problems.
Okay.
Well, how many years did he actually play in the NBA?
Yao?
Uh huh.
I thought Yao had an 8-9.
He played that long?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Dirk was in the league for 20 though.
Well. Now, Mike, I know you keep an open mind about these kind of things.
Yeah, I'm pretty open in saying Dirk. I'm sorry.
Last week, I learned, you know, one thing I can say about calling your show is you're also a teacher. You teach us very valuable lessons.
Yeah, I was out of the league by age 30, so he had 7 years. He missed one entire year with the foot problem. So he had 7 years. And he averaged 19 points a game and 9 rebounds. I mean, good, but not like over the top. Dirk.
So you would put Dirk in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're talking basketball, now I'd have to go track and think about it and soccer and all that kind of stuff before I would make a reason.
Well, you do. Soccer, they're going to put Pele in it first.
Yeah.
He's going in.
Yeah, you know, Pele was North American, though, wasn't he?
I put Pele's roots, though, are in...
Where?
South America.
Yeah, South America. So he's not really. I thought you were talking about the other side of the pond.
Okay, I thought Pele was born in.
He's North America. He's a North American guy, Pele. So I would have to think like of the foreign superstars that were in track that competed in the Olympics, stuff like that.
Now, because he became an American citizen, I DQ'd Olajuwon.
You DQ'd him?
He ended up playing it for an for a USA on the Olympics. So I wonder if he's still...
Yeah, he can't disqualify him.
Well, then he's number one.
Is he number one over Dirk?
See, Dirk is like, what, he's top five scoring?
Yeah.
And man shooting. Like, we're not giving him credit for how he revolutionized the game.
Yeah, I don't think he can top Dirk.
I think he might be the top dog.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, let's talk some Eagle issues here with the man who covers Eagles for ESPN.com. Been waiting to talk to him. He had a really interesting story in yesterday. The great Tim McManus joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Timmy, how you doing, buddy?
Hanging in there, Mike. How about you?
Well, we're all hanging in there, and I know you're doing a lot of work on the telephone, tracking down stuff. And so, like, right now, first of all, talk about the story you had in yesterday, ESPN.com, which Sal and I discussed, but go into what your point was in that story for the people.
Right, so the Eagles had a chance to acquire DeAndre Hopkins. They were in talks with the Houston Texans before ultimately the Cardinals got him via trade, but the Eagles kind of calculated everything and decided it wasn't worth it for them, or it wasn't the right path to go down. For a couple reasons. Number one, they believe that this upcoming draft class is super potent, and they'll be able to get kind of young, inexpensive, quality talent in this upcoming draft. And number two, that you don't only acquire Hopkins, but also his demand for a new mega deal, even though he has 3 years left on his contract. But I think it's a real interesting discussion point to have, because this first main wave of free agency has come and gone. The Eagles haven't made a move despite it being, a glaring need. And, they had a chance to get one of the best wide receivers, arguably the best receiver in the sport at 27 years old, at not that rich of a compensation in terms of trade value. And, they declined.
Yes, and of course the contract would have had to be redone, which made him the highest paid wide receiver. So it would have been a major financial commitment. But the discussion we had with Sal yesterday said Miles Sanders and a number two, he would have done it. And that would have been a bigger compensation package for Bill O'Brien. And with the Penn State connection, the whole thing would have worked out. Would you have done it?
Well, I agree that would be more enticing. You would have to think for O'Brien, because, I mean, the way that they were kind of looking at this trade was, there was a $10 million price tag cap hit that was coming with David Johnson. So it was almost like Arizona, who was already committed to another running back, was like unloading a running back at the same time as getting the best wide receiver. And that's why people are like, what the hell are the Texans doing? So, yeah, I would think that they would welcome a Miles Sanders number two package. But I honestly don't think it would have taken that much. I wouldn't have done that. I would not have done that. I believe in Sanders. I believe in the idea of drafting talent and investing in that. And don't just when you see the fruits of that, you don't then just turn around and give that up that quickly. I don't think that you would need to, given the structure of this last deal that they ultimately went through with between Houston and Arizona. That would seem a lot richer than what ultimately happened.
All right, let's focus on this wide receiver position here, because I was reading a story today in The Athletic by your pal Bo, and he's got the Eagles moving back in the first round, grabbing one of the picks that they lost in the deal, the trade they made, and still taking a wide receiver, Jalen Reagor, with that. Where do you think the Eagles are? Would they entertain something like that, or do you believe that they will make an aggressive move to move up to get into that upper plateau for the wide receivers?
It feels more likely to me that they would be aggressive and move up. To be honest with you, I don't like the idea of them moving back at all. I think that they're a sitting duck, basically, going into this draft for this reason. It doesn't appear that they're going to make any significant move at wide receiver between now and the draft. You look at it and it kind of is what it is, and it is so obvious that they are going to go after a wide receiver early in this draft. I mean, if they don't take a wide receiver at this point, it's an upset. Anything can happen. Chips fall different ways. Value rises up to them. It could happen. But, I mean, it just seems so glaringly obvious to me, and I'm sure everybody, that wide receiver is where they're going to go, which means that teams know that. It means that if you are looking at weighing the odds of leapfrogging them, I think the odds go up for teams that are in the market for a wide receiver, being like, I know the Eagles are going to take one, so we better jump ahead of them. And so the Eagles can't afford, given the way that they have chosen to attack the offseason so far, to sit idle and have their primary picks at wide receiver get plucked off the board and have people jumping ahead of them in order to take them. So I think that the Eagles need to be the aggressive ones here. I think the Eagles have to recognize that there are teams that are going to know essentially or are calculating what their strategy could very well be. And so they're going to have to move up in order to get the guy that they want. It's a deep class, but I think being aggressive here is really the smart play because you don't want to come up not empty-handed, but not with the guy that you want.
And here's the reason why. Let me just throw some names your way. They got DeSean Jackson. We have no idea. They have Alshon Jeffrey on the roster. We have no idea, and we'll discuss that in a second. Greg Ward, Arthega Whiteside, Robert Davis, Deontay Burnett, Mark and Michelle, Marcus Green, and the infamous River Craycraft on the roster.
Yes.
So it's gotta be a wide receiver. I can't see any other reason why they wouldn't go wide receiver.
Right. And you know, I thought that they were going to safeguard themselves at least a little bit in free agency. It doesn't mean that you have to go crazy, but because of how good a draft class this is coming up, it depressed the free agent market for these guys and kept the numbers relatively sane. So Breshad Perriman ended up being 1 year, $8 million. I don't know. Could you have lived with that to give yourself kind of that safeguard in case the draft didn't work out the way you wanted or the guy didn't develop as quickly as you anticipated he would? I mean, that to me seemed to be the smarter play, but they didn't take that route. And so that only heightens their need to take what I think is going to end up being multiple receivers in this draft.
All right. Let's talk about the Jeffrey thing. I was reading the story today about how it's likely that the Eagles are going to have to bring him back because the release is going to count for $16.5 million against the cap. What do you think is the solution to this?
Yeah, I mean, they're in a bit of a bind because of the cap number. Howie Roseman and company guaranteed his 2020 salary last September, and obviously things didn't go well. He ends up having the Lisfranc foot surgery, which the recovery brings him up really to the doorstep of the season. And then, you know, is he ready by then? How good does he look by then? And what are you going to do with that money? Because, you know, his $15+ million cap hit is the fourth largest on the entire team. And so that's hard to swallow when you're roster building saying, all right, well, we're just going to get rid of this guy. It seems that there isn't any rush to do that right now. I think that the Eagles, number one, are waiting for him to get healthy. And, you know, piecing everything together, I think that there is a desire to move on, at least from the, you know, signals that I've gotten. But also they're standing pat for now and want him to get healthy. So I think if you put all of those things together, you let him stay on the roster, you let him get healthy, you explore the trade market at that time, sort of at the doorstep of the season, and see if there's any teams that are in need that you can make it work to get that salary off your books, or at least part of that salary off your books. And I think that's the way they're going to attack it. But also, I guess there's this other point now, Mike, that because they weren't aggressive at all in free agency at wide receiver, and if you're not happy with how your wide receivers are panning out in the draft, then maybe there's a scenario he stays on this team. You know, I'd still probably put the odds against that, but I think first and foremost, let him get healthy, see if you can get something via trade for him later in this offseason.
All right, let's look at the defense quickly. Now, they obviously fortified defensive tackle. Linebacker, not really. Defensive ends, they think they're going to have faith in the guys they have unless you have some information and Ngakoue maybe getting here. Is that less likely to happen at this point?
Feels less likely to me. It feels like Ngakoue is kind of pushing that. You see with the social media posts that he is encouraging the thought of him coming to Philadelphia. He clearly wants a new start in his career, and he's a great player. Like, I think the Eagles would be instantly better and would have a hell of a pass rush if they could bring him on board. The problem is that if the asking price is a first round pick, we just discussed the need to hit it in at wide receiver early in this draft, plus the big money that you are committing to him. And as I put in that DeAndre Hopkins post yesterday, you know, the Eagles have over $125 million committed to the top 10 players on this team right now. I mean, so they are, and that's 67% of the cap. So, I mean, can you really add another big number and find a balance to your roster that you need and be able to build this out long term around Carson Wentz? I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. So maybe if the stars align beautifully for them and they get a steal, but I'd imagine they're going to be rolling largely with the defensive front that you mentioned.
All right, let's go backwards now on the field and get to the defensive backs. Their situation now has, they got a starting corner, a good move in Darius Slay, and mm-hmm. the big gamble with Mills coming in for Malcolm Jenkins out. Who would be the other corner? What'd you think of the safety shift?
Well, I mean, I think that it is a bit of a gamble. Mills seems to have some of the skill set that would translate into a successful safety, but he just hasn't played it at this level. And so you're going essentially from Malcolm Jenkins, like the surest thing in the book, to a lot less of that with Mills. But you have to kind of give and take when you're trying to build something out. And, you know, Darius Slay, acquiring him and having him as piece of the secondary, I think is really important. So maybe that offsets it a little bit. So I think right now what you're talking about is Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills as the projected starting safety, with Will Parks playing kind of like that third safety linebacker hybrid type role that, mm-hmm. that Jim Schwartz seems to like. And then you have Darius Slay as one of your starting cornerbacks. You have Roby Coleman as your starting slot. And then competition, at least it looks like right now, for that opposite outside corner spot from Darius Slay. And so Avante Maddox will be one of those guys that at least right now would be in competition for that, along with Rasul Douglas or Sidney Jones. So I don't know if there is another shoe to drop between now and the start of the season for corner, because that spot still feels, you know, a little loose. But right now that seems to be how it's projecting out.
All right. Last question is the recent thing came up. There were the GMs voted to move the draft, and the league wants no part of that. I don't know what sense that makes, because it's very important to have these teams interview and eyeball these players. What's going to happen on that?
Well, I can certainly see why the GMs will be feeling kind of vulnerable in the process, because they're so used to having so many checks on these players through their pro days and through the personal visits, getting to know them. And all of that helps, you know, kind of protect and make you feel better about the picks that you're going to be making. And a lot of that just isn't available to them. And so, you know, further medical evaluations, all that kind of stuff. And so I get where they're coming from, but I haven't seen from the NFL side, at least yet, any public willingness to move off of the current date. I thought that Adam Schefter had an interesting idea of turning it into a 7-day event, since, you know, there's no other mm-hmm. sporting events going on anyway, and maybe that would be good for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that the GM's desire to have it move probably will not last out, and they're just going to have to adapt to what is obviously a very unique situation for all of us.
All righty. Timmy, great stuff. We will talk to you up the road very soon.
All right, my pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. All right, trading up. Does that settle everybody down? Tim says more likely to trade up.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And they kind of overplayed their hand, like you said. Like, if another mm-hmm. team wants a wide receiver, they're going to have to leapfrog the Eagles. So.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. And, I may have left out one of my favorite cartoons.
What's that?
Someone had just pointed it out. I'll tell you on the other side.
Uh-huh.
One of our text board members. Mike Misnelli Show, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:30, and it's time for an update on our Twitter poll. First of all, Nat.
Yes.
Your five top cartoons.
Oh, yeah, I have mine.
What are they?
Okay, so it's Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Scooby-Doo, Doug, and Hey Arnold. Animaniacs includes...
Doug is actually pretty good. I used to watch that with my daughter.
Doug was great. So, yeah, I mean,
Doug was good.
That's all my generation.
Yeah, that is your generation.
Yeah, but Animaniacs includes Pinky and the Brain, who are
Pinky
brilliant.
And the Brain, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was fantastic.
Is a pretty
fantastic.
I used to like Ren and Stimpy.
I was, you know what? They almost made my list, but I think that they're like six. I loved Ren and Stimpy.
That was very good.
They were so gross.
Yeah, yes, that's not bad. All right, let's get our update on Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat?
All right, Mike, today's poll has over 1,200 votes on it. Do you want the NFL draft to continue on as normal? 78% says yes, 22% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. So it's not moving very much. Okay.
No, people aren't
thinking
it through. They're
thinking it through.
Want it now.
Don't take any more sports away from me. I've had it.
Well, the good thing
is my draft.
The NFL doesn't care what the GMs think. They don't care about what anybody thinks, so they're just going to leave it.
Yes, they are.
So,
All right, two things on cartoons. The guy I was thinking about was with the Quick Draw McGraw, was his little sidekick. He had a little sidekick, a little burro named Baba Louie.
Wait, I kind of
now, that must
that.
Have morphed into the Stern thing with Baba Bowie. But that was Baba Louie was the little Mexican burro who had wore a sombrero all the time. And anyway, he would sleep in a box. And Quick Draw would go, "Hey, Baba Louie, you okay in there?" And he would lift the box and go, "It's all right." So that's what I just remembered.
Okay, right?
It was Baba Louie.
Yeah.
Baba Louie, the little Mexican burro. All right, now the cartoon that my man reminded me of. I want to give him a shout out because DJ? I think it was, DJ Hobson. And DJ says, "Courageous Cat."
See, I never saw Courageous Cat.
Courageous Cat was a ripoff of Batman.
That's what
Courageous Cat would come out of the cave with a Batmobile.
But he was a faux Batman?
He was a superhero cat. Courageous Cat, and he would fight. There was a villain who had the voice of Edward G. Robinson, and he would smoke a cigar. "Now, see here, Courageous."
And he went,
I love
that.
Yeah.
Cigar. It was classic. Courageous Cat was cool.
I never saw Courageous Cat.
Yeah, you got to check out Courageous Cat. All right, John in Allentown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. You're absolutely right. I forgot about Courageous Cat.
That was a great
minute now.
That was a great cartoon.
that was a great show. I'm looking here. It was only on for like 3 years, but man,
it
that
had,
been
it,
on a while.
It had an impactful 3 years. It was on, I think, with Minute Mouse.
Yeah,
it was like that was like a combine cartoon. And Minute Mouse fly through the air.
Yeah, and it had the gangster guys that were like
the Edward G. Robinson villain guy.
Yeah,
hey, with the cigar, always fly, man. Say hair, correct?
Great show. The reason I was wondering, I don't know really, how this works with the drug testing in sports, but I would think that . You know, once the seasons get back underway and everything, that you think that there would be a lot of positive drug tests as far as like guys taking PEDs and like people, doing recreational drugs and things like that while, everything's shut down right now. What's your insight?
Where would they buy? Like mail order from the Dominican or something?
I'm thinking, there's got to be a lot of players that are back in the Dominican.
It's not
right
a bad thought because they're not going to get tested. They work out, they're doing it that way. I don't know. I guess it's possible. You can get it mailed to your house.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking. And other players, with the NBA and NFL and stuff like that, I mean, people, doing recreational drugs that they test for, I mean, I'm sure that there's no way to do it in person unless, they live in that city or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. But.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have an outlet to if they want to do PEDs and other drugs, they could do it. All right, man, want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
All right, this is the three of a kind, so I'm going to give you three things. You tell me what I'm looking for. All right, Moat, Bailey, and Keep. What are they? What word am I looking for when I go Moat, Bailey, and Keep? They got harder, Tyron. They got a lot harder. What'd you say?
A castle?
That's correct. A castle. Is that a Google?
No.
No?
Is John a drug dealer?
What? Why?
The way he's just, hey, you know, a lot of these players, is he trying to say that he's trying to, like,
I don't know.
He's a drug dealer?
You know, he might just be a suspicious guy.
Because, I mean, they stopped testing for marijuana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what, if any if that if yeah, there's a, that's what was, they're
maybe,
doing.
He was saying recreational drugs, but possible. It's feasible. The PED thing is feasible at this point.
Well, not right? For football, it's not.
No, but for NBA, NHL players, baseball players right now are under a freedom to do it.
They do the cycles. I think most of the guys that do PEDs do a cycle. And they're going to do them. They set it up to not be doing them right now.
But who's going to be testing them?
Right,
they know they have freedom from tests.
Right, but the people that don't get caught normally in PEDs know how to cycle on and off of them.
No, I get that.
So that's things set in advance. If any guy that's trying to cycle now is definitely going to get caught.
Well, he's now's the time for an extra boost.
Yeah, then you're going to get caught because you have to cycle off by a certain time where these tests catch you.
Paul in Germantown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Paul.
Mike, Donna Missanelli, like you always say when fans call, you twisted my brain into a pretzel. Stuff is going on. Where, man? Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, first of all, I got a lot of things I'm going to hit on, but I got a violation for a movie, one of our favorite movies. But, okay, Goodfellas was awesome on Animaniacs. It was a ripoff of Goodfellas, but it was the pigeons, and it was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Johnny Quest is absolutely awesome.
Love Johnny Quest.
Okay. I want the Eagles to move up to 13 with San Francisco to try to get Ruggs the third.
Okay, I like that too.
Okay. Now, my movie violation, one of our favorite movies, Roadhouse.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching Roadhouse for the 1,000,000th time, and it's the scene when Doc is in the bedroom with Dalton, the house blows up. Dalton runs in, gets Emmett. Doc sees everything. You see Jimmy riding off on the dirt bike laughing.
Yeah.
Dalton fights. Dalton jumps out.
Dalton cuts it off. He cuts off the land.
Right.
He makes the diagonal cut to get to Jimmy.
Right. So now Doc is watching Dalton and Jimmy fight.
Uh-huh.
Dalton's getting the best of Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy pulls out a pistol.
Uh-huh.
Doc, he kicks it out of his hand.
Right.
And he does the throat rip and kills him. Doc runs in the water to check on Jimmy.
To pull him out.
And then when she comes out the water, she gets Dalton in the eyes.
Yes, she does. But she was dedicated to health being part of the whole doctor thing. And you just can't, in her heart, you go around killing people. So her doctor side came out originally. She's got a dead body in front of her. Her doctor side came out before the love side for him.
I think it's a slight violation.
Well, I thought the same thing. She turned on him. He's in a fight to the death. Like, what did she want? Him to die first? Like, that would have been okay with her? No, I get that. I get that part of it. But her instinct to go to him in the water was the instinct to help a man in distress.
I'm cool with her running to the water, Mike, but you can't give Dalton the eye.
She broke up with him. The guy's trying to fight for his life.
I think it's a violation.
Not only that, but he's fighting a guy who almost tried to kill an old guy.
Yeah. Now, let's jump back to the draft a little bit. I think, you know, we always talk about teams reaching early in the draft.
Uh-huh.
And pushing guys down.
Yes.
Now, a name that hasn't been talked about a lot is T. Higgins. And that's because he didn't work out at the combine. He did the pro day, and his pro day numbers was average. He ran like a 4.43.
Yeah, he's not a burner.
Right.
So he's like Arthega Whiteside in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we don't want to do that anymore.
No, you want the balance.
I want Ruggs the third, but I also want two receivers. And I think they need to look at using maybe that third. If they don't have to use it to move up to give to San Francisco, I'd like to see them try to get another receiver later on.
I think they might try to do that. Yeah. All right, Brian, you want a general knowledge question?
Absolutely.
1990s pop culture.
Okay.
All right. So here is the question. What special prosecutor released prurient details about Bill Clinton's personal life.
Mike, you have a good day.
You're out?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the guy prosecuted Billy. Ken Starr.
Yeah, end up
getting, the guy.
End up getting himself in some trouble at Baylor.
Yes, he did.
But, you know.
He was relentless on Bill Clinton.
I remember I got the big book of it. It's too many redactions in it. Like the printed out stuff. I was like, I want to know all these details. What's with all these black marks?
Yeah. Well. Anyway, on the other side, we'll continue the discussion on general knowledge Wednesday. Still a lot of stuff to give away. Well, you got the trucks, and we've got concert tickets, all that kind of stuff back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:47 on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. You know, I was thinking about, I was watching Pulp Fiction again. Because it was on a pay channel.
Okay.
And it wasn't, you know, it's
no commercial.
Yeah, it's and they cut out all the words when it's on. And it's, that's where it's on mostly.
Yeah.
So I just happened to catch it on a pay channel. So I watched it over again. And I had a decision to make in my head. Like, if you had to rank the five coolest characters in Pulp Fiction, who would be number one?
For me, it's...
Jules?
Mr. Wolf.
Oh, Mr. Wolf is number one.
For me. He's number one.
All right, small part, though.
Yeah, but he's the coolest.
Okay. All right, just Wolf is in the top couple, I think.
Yeah.
Would you think? You know, here's who I think is really, really cool in the movie.
Who's that?
And that's Bruce Willis's character.
Yes.
Ultra cool, especially when he picks up what's her name? Fabian.
Yeah.
In the hotel with the chopper, and he's trying to communicate with her. And he cracks her twice about what she calls it a motorcycle.
It's
but
a
does it cool.
Doesn't yell at her.
I'm sorry, baby. Did you have your pancakes?
Yeah.
Well, baby, we got to hit that bleeping road.
Because she sees him bleed and she starts crying and he's trying to calm her down.
Yeah, so Bruce Willis, ultra cool.
Super cool.
Was he cooler than Jules?
Yes.
He was cooler than Jules.
Well, Jules was really cool. Like,
he's pretty cool.
Yeah, like.
Which wild is yours? It's the one who said it.
Right, like when they're talking about the foot massage, like before they go in, he's like, wait, let's get the character before he goes in.
Yes.
How cool he is and then how brutal he is after that.
Yes.
That's a, you know, that's...
I had a tough time. It's a 3-horse race.
Yeah.
Travolta's not that cool.
No. He gets on your nerves.
Yeah, he gets on your nerves.
Like, because it's like, why are you being so reckless? And you can't accidentally, he's a trained killer, yet he accidentally shoots a guy's head off. Like, what are you doing?
Well, I can see that I haven't hit a bump.
Yeah, but you gotta have the safety on. Come on, you're a trained killer.
Dude, come on, man. They don't put safeties on. Trained killers don't put safeties on, do they?
Well, they don't care. Well, you don't go over the ball.
They didn't care about Marvin.
Yeah, but
he was, you know.
Poor Marvin.
He was disposable, Marvin.
But they're on the road.
All right.
Now, if it wasn't for the bad language, Tarantino's character. Because, because he's just letting people come to his house when there's a problem. But then he uses the racial slur, and then,
about 100 times.
That's what I mean. So it ruins it.
You're right, Mr. Wolf. So, Jimmy, is your Uncle Conrad and Aunt Ginny.
Yeah.
Are they wealthy people? Well, your Uncle Marcellus is.
Right.
I'm an oak man. All right, let's go. Lee in Schwanksville. Lee, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lee.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Lee?
First time, long time.
Thank you.
First of all, John Travolta is definitely the best character, or the coolest character.
No, he's not that cool. Remember,
he saved a woman from a heroin overdose.
Yeah, but he wasn't even that cool together. When he did that. He busted in on my man, Lance. Right? He caused the problem, and then, you know, he caused more problems with Lance. Like, that wasn't a cool thing to do. You got to bite the bullet, like Lance said. Get yourself a lawyer and go to the emergency room.
Yeah, well,
nothing cool about it. And not only that, he was snarky to Butch for no reason at the bar after he had the conversation with Marcellus. There was no reason for him to abuse Butch there. That's not cool.
And it's a tough call. Tough call. But I think I have the cure for people who are jonesing for competitive activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, actually it was a lot more than a few, but maybe like 10 years ago, World Series of Poker took off, right? And I don't know why, but I think I have the thing to fill in the void. Yeah. And right now, the 2020 Candidates Tournament is going on for the chess championship. So the Candidates Tournament is deciding who will face the current world champion in, I think it's October and November. And so there's 8 people. One of them is an American, Fabiano Caruana. So we should definitely, put our rooting interest behind this guy. But every morning, and I think it takes place at night in Russia, so it kind of shows up mornings for us. But every morning on chess.com, you can go and watch this. There's great commentary. It's not as it sounds.
You're asking us to watch chess?
Yeah, chess.com.
I would say no.
Come on, man.
I'm telling you, it's compelling stuff.
That's going to give us more boredom than what we're currently going through.
No, but you're telling me that people 10 years ago were into watching people play cards? But
poker is a money thing. It's like, you know, everybody plays poker around the house, and everybody plays chess for money. You know, chess is just an intellectual game where you sit there and it's, you know, hours.
When everybody's sitting at home alone right now, or not alone.
You sound like a nice guy. I don't think that's going to resonate with folks.
You got to give it a shot. Take a look at it tomorrow morning.
I will. Would you like a general knowledge question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Here's the question. What country has a flag that features a white St. Andrew's cross on a field of blue?
White St. Andrew's.
St. Andrew's being the key word.
Go with Scotland.
That's correct. Scotland. Is I was trying to. I carried that call on for a while because I thought he was going to get to a punchline.
That's what I thought. Because it sounded the way he started.
I didn't think he was being serious about it.
Like, the poker thing partially caught on because people were playing the hands.
Yeah, and it's something that everybody has done for money, with money at stake.
Yeah. Chess has been around a long time. If it hasn't caught on yet, it's not gonna.
Yeah.
I'd be more likely to watch checkers because it moved faster.
And there's multiple participants in poker, so you can read their faces and you see, like, whether they're trying, you know?
Yeah, and you know the cards, but the people don't. Right. Like, they're showing you the cards and stuff.
That's what makes that interesting.
Yeah. Chess, the guy can sit there forever and ever. There's no time. Like, there's not always a timed game.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that would be a good replacement.
I'm not watching.
5 o'clock hour is straight up on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.